Betty Hall is an 83-year-old school board member. She has served 11 two-year terms as a New Hampshire state representative.
I spoke with Betty last Thursday in the sitting room just outside the courtroom at the Nashua District Courthouse in downtown Nashua. She was scheduled to appear before Judge Clifford Kinghorn at 10:30 that morning. Betty had been arrested for refusing to move from her chosen location during a visit by President Bush to Nashua this past March. Betty had complied with police requests to move three different times that day, but decided that she was not going to move for a fourth time to a designated area farther from the vision of the passing president. Betty was holding a sign critical of President Bush when she was asked to move. Bush and his motorcade were passing by the intersection of Amherst Street and Deerwood Drive on a way to an appearance at the New Hampshire Community Technical College. These designated areas, euphemistically called free speech or sometimes safety zones, are a recent phenomenon that have been sharply criticized by civil libertarians as an infringement on our constitutional rights to peacefully assemble. Betty sat surrounded by supporters, many of whom, like me, had served with her in the New Hampshire State Legislature. I asked Betty why she was facing charges of disorderly conduct.
Well, I got arrested when I was sitting there holding a sign at the Bush rally at the Voc-Tech a couple months ago.
Yeah, I understand that you were moved a number of times. Is that true?
Yes, I was, and I complied every time until I finally got sick of it and decided that I shouldn't have to move so far away again. And I don't walk very well, you know.
If you had a Bush sign, would you have been moved, do you think?
Actually, I think so. They were trying to move protesters around, and they moved us over with the Bush supporters at one point, and then they tried to move everybody. Most of the Bush supporters went home at that point. They didn't stay because they were afraid they were going to get moved and have to associate with us.
In many other locations in the United States where the president has appeared, arrests look to be purely partisan. Jim Hyatt Tower has reported that in at least eight cities, demonstrators holding or wearing anti-Bush signs have been arrested, while demonstrators next to them with pro-Bush paraphernalia were ignored. To their credit, the Nashua police moved all the spectators to the fenced-in zone, both those with pro-Bush signs as well as those with anti-Bush signs. Although I was told by other spectators to the event that people with pro-Bush signs were ignored at other locations along the path of the motorcade where there were no anti-Bush signs to be seen. But nevertheless, the Nashua police showed that there is still a semblance of fair play still alive here in New England,
the cradle of liberty. So what happened? You got arrested? Did they put you in jail? What happened?
Yeah, they picked me up and carried me to the police car and drove me over to Hudson to the jail, and they booked me and put me in a cell. And my son had to come over and bail me out.
First time in jail?
First time in jail. I had a great time.
You know, what do you expect is going to happen today?
Well, I'm just going to tell my story, say what I did and why I did it. And I don't think I caused any problem, or I was a danger to anybody, or even to myself, or other protesters, or to the president, who wasn't even close.
Later that day, Judge Kinghorn found Ms. Hall not guilty based on the opinion that it wasn't lawful for police to order Hall to move because she hadn't done anything wrong. To be guilty of disorderly conduct, a person, under New Hampshire state law anyway, must be making some sort of a ruckus or substantially interfering with a criminal investigation, with firefighting, or with other emergency services. Police had charged that Hall had substantially interfered with the provisions of emergency service when traffic or pedestrian management is required. But Hall's lawyer, Mike Pignatelli, argued, the president and his motorcade can't be considered an emergency in and of themselves. Judge Kinghorn agreed with Betty Hall's lawyer, and he stressed the substantial interference language in the New Hampshire state law in finding Hall innocent. I then asked Betty Hall about her opinion of the free speech zones and her experience as an elected official. What do you think of free speech zones?
I think they're miserable. I can't see any. I think all of America is a free speech zone, and should be. I don't believe in this penning people up stuff.
I understand you were in politics at one point. Tell us a little bit about your political background.
Well, I served in the New Hampshire legislature for 22 years, along with you, and I've done every kind of community service in my town and my area. I don't just limit myself to Brookline. I'm on the Hollis Brookline Cooperative School Board right now. And I spend a lot of time in service to the community, and I think what I was doing was a service to the community when I was sitting there and protesting.
I understand President Bush is coming to Nashua next week. Well, if you're such a threat, you know, I would think he'd think twice about coming to Nashua.
Well, I guess he doesn't feel perhaps as physically threatened as he feels spiritually threatened.
I bet you get some interesting messages.
I do. I get some. Of course, I get all the usual spam, but I also get a lot of people who know me and from one place or another, or read about me and call me up. And I've been pleasantly surprised that I have not gotten harassing phone calls.
None at all?
Not at all. I don't think I had one harassing phone call. I actually seen one letter to the editor that was in opposition. There may have been more, but there was only one I saw. And the Manchester Union leader has treated me very gently. And the police treated me very gently.
She was then asked by one of her supporters what she had been officially charged with.
Disorderly conduct. And when they asked me to move and I didn't move, I didn't resist them at all. I never said a nasty word to them or yelled at them or anything. And they were very polite to me, too. It was a very polite operation. If it wasn't so serious, it would be hugely comical. It has an element of comedy anyway, but there is some seriousness to it when we can't speak out and carry signs. I've been carrying signs all my life. Well, they wanted me to just do what the rest of the guys did and move into the pen. And that was, and to tell you the truth, it was too far to walk. I didn't really want to walk that far. And I had already moved that much, and I said I didn't want to walk that far, and I thought I should be able to stay right where I was. And I think I should have been able. Hello there. How are you?
How are
nice
you?
To see you.
Came to support you.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay. Have you ever been in court before?
Not that I can remember for anything except a traffic violation. I think maybe once I protested a traffic violation, but that's about the extent of it.
Thanks very much, Betty.
Okay.
I then spoke to a few of Betty Hall's supporters in the courthouse. The first was Claudette Jean. Now, Claudette is a retired Nashua teacher who represents her district in the New Hampshire State Legislature. I asked her why she was supporting Betty Hall.
Yes, I am supporting Betty Hall very much. I always have. She sat with me for 10 years in the legislature, and she was one of these legislators that if there was an unfair thing coming up, she would get up and speak against it. So I'm here saying, Betty, go for it.
And Claudette is a retired teacher and New Hampshire state legislator. I then turn the mic to Paul Johnson. Paul is one of 11 Democratic candidates running for the 10 positions in one of the legislative districts in Nashua. I asked Paul why he was there.
Well, I've known Betty for 30 years, and I got to know her really well in the last year of my involvement with the Howard Dean campaign, and I was impressed with her energy and the fact that an 80-year-old woman could walk into a room full of people and work the crowd better than anybody and have more energy and enthusiasm and passion about the issues. And and she's been one of the people that inspired me to run for state office and to just not just sit in the sidelines and complain about the system, but to work for change. I really admire her, and I think she deserves our support. And I think this whole issue of free speech zones and keeping the people in power from being confronted or having to deal with the issues and with anybody that isn't a carefully chosen supporter and friend of the campaign is just so wrong and so un-American. So I'm here to see that change as well. And I switched from being an independent. I've been an independent for 30 years, and I just decided that I had to put aside my philosophical differences with the two-party system and polarization and take a stand and then join the Democratic Party, and I think I'll be there the rest of my life.
Very good, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Finally, I interviewed Mary Ellen Martin, who has been a New Hampshire state legislator since 1991. She had this to say.
Well, I'm from Ward 9, which is in South Nashua near Exit 4 for the markers that most people use, and the FAA Center. What is that? 7 terms, right? And Betty and I have served together for almost all of that time. She has been a friend and a mentor when I first came into the legislature. She has mentored half the people in that legislature. She's been working in a capacity of a volunteer or an elected position for half a century in this Southern New Hampshire region, and during that time she's helped a gazillion people.
Well, given that, you know, why is she here in court, and why was she put in jail?
When Bush came to town in March, there were some people that were protesting, and actually Betty went by just to see who was there. She hadn't really planned on participating in this, but she ran into some people she knew, and so she stopped, and so she got a sign, and she said, okay, she'd join them. Long story short, the crowd had gathered at one location, which is across Deerfield Road from the Technical College on Amherst Street. They had gathered across the street from the college, and the police came and asked them to move across Amherst Street. But it gets complicated, but a long story short is that she moved 3 times cheerfully at the police request, and the 4th time they asked her to move, they wanted her to move into a pen, an area where these people were going to be allowed to do their thing, and she refused to go. So she was arrested and picked up and carted off to jail and been through the whole thing. You know, put in a cell after she was photographed, fingerprinted, booked, you know, the whole thing. We all thought it was kind of funny at the time because everybody knows her. All the police know her. The guys are saying, Betty, why are you doing this? You know, she's saying, I don't know why I'm doing this. She's just saying, this is just a push too far. You know, when the police say, which they said to the press afterwards, they said something, I'm paraphrasing now, they said something about, you know, well, the Secret Service designates a safety zone, which you know, fence off or clear out in order to have safe arrival and departure for the president. That's reasonable. That's fine. Okay? Yeah. So if we're outside the safety zone, wherever you define it to be, then we as citizens are allowed to do whatever we please. Freedom of speech, you know, sit on our chairs, stand on our heads, whatever we want, right? Well, it seems to have disintegrated into this practice of saying, actually not saying, doing, they put the citizens in a safety zone, so to speak, a pen. And the rest of the area is left open. I think we've got it a little bass-ackwards, don't you?
I sure do.
So Betty's drawing the line in the sand, and we're all here to support her.
Betty Hall was found not guilty based on the fact that the charge of disorderly conduct did not apply under New Hampshire state law. Unfortunately, the larger issue of the legitimacy of the so-called free speech zones was not sufficiently addressed. On an ominous note, Secret Service Deputy Chief Donald Connolly said Thursday, In light of Judge Kinghorn's ruling, anyone who refuses to abide with security arrangements next time will be arrested and charged under the federal statute. The penalties under the federal statute are punishable by up to a year in prison and a $1,000 fine. Said Connolly, if anyone is violating a security perimeter, they'll be charged federally and not by state statute. The President of the United States has to be protected and will be protected in the city of Nashua. Well, I don't think anybody would argue that's not the case. But the problem is, and the concern of us is, that the perimeters drawn would be unrealistic so that people can't either see the president or be seen by the president, especially people who are holding signs that are critical of some of the policies of any administration. It's not clear whether the Secret Service has any formal regulations governing how close demonstrators can get to the president. I just hope that the legitimate duty of the Secret Service and local law enforcement officials to protect the president aren't used as a ploy to pen up legitimate dissenters as they did at the Democratic Convention. This is no idle concern. For example, Jim Hightower has addressed the issue in a few of his recent audio editorials. We'll play excerpts from a few of them to hear what Jim has to say about the issue.